God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin today in Mark chapter 6 with you. Begin there, starting in verse 7, we'll read some selected verses. And Jesus called to Him the 12, and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. So they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Then the apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves." Last week, I talked with you about the importance of coming to church. This week, I'd like to talk with you about the importance of going away, to be alone by yourselves with the Lord, to have what some call a quiet time, alone with the Lord, to spend time with Him, just the two of you, in personal devotion and prayer. And so this is what the subject is today, spending time alone with God in your lives, its benefits, and how God draws us to it. So, what does God say to His people, to His children then today, about their spending time alone with Him as a custom and a regular thing in their lives? Well, let's go back to Mark chapter 6 to begin with. Here again, we saw that the disciples had just gone out, two by two, were preaching, healing, calling people to repentance, and they came back and they were pretty excited, but they were also probably pretty tired. And so what does the Lord of life Himself say to them? He says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Verse 32, and they went away in a boat to a lonely place, to a solitary place by themselves. Now, of course, being a sailor, I might want to focus on the whole boat thing, but I'm not. I'm going to focus on this, that they went away to a solitary place. Now, doesn't that seem a little strange, a little amazing to you? Because you figure, here's Jesus. He's the Messiah. We've been waiting for Him for centuries. He's finally on the scene. He's got 3 years to accomplish all of His work on earth. He's got to save the world. He's got to teach us the way of knowledge. He's got to heal the sick, cast out demons, deal with sin, destroy death, and conquer the devil. And now here He's going to take a break. 3 years to do all these things. The disciples, the apostles themselves were on a roll. And He says, okay, now it's time to rest. How many of us would do such a thing? We get the idea that we have to work and work and work and work all the time if we're going to get everything done and be a good servant to the Lord. What's the Lord teaching us here then by the example of His life, by what He says? Do you think He might be saying something to you today about your busy life? Well, there's a story of a man who was desperate for work, and he decided to go to a timber company, and he was hired as a lumberjack. And he went out, knowing his job depended upon how much he did. He started chopping away, and he worked basically day and night. He got there early in the morning. He worked late at night. He skipped his breaks. Third day, the foreman calls him in and says, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to fire you." "Why? I'm working harder than everybody else." He says, "Your output's just not enough." And the man's like, this is crazy. I work harder than anybody. I get up in the morning. I'm here before they're here. I work late into the dark after everyone's gone. I don't take my breaks." And the foreman looks at him and says, "Well, have you been sharpening your axe?" And he says, no, I don't have time for that. I got to get my work done." Well, how about us? How many of us are thinking we got to get all our work done in life, all these thousands of things out there, but we're not going to take time to go away by the Lord to a solitary place and rest a while, to sharpen our axe of our faith, to be strong in the Lord? Because guess what? If you want to make others strong, you yourself have to be strengthened at times too. I believe this is what the Lord is teaching us here, that we need times regularly to get alone with the Lord, where He can replenish us, strengthen us, comfort us. Or to use a football example for those football fans here, we come together on Sunday to practice with the team. But wouldn't you like a little personal time with a coach throughout the week? Do you think your game might improve? Well, Jesus took time out with his Father, as we see here. And don't we also need to go alone and be with him for our strength? Well, let's take a look at some of the other examples from Jesus' life and see what we can learn about what this kind of time with the Lord might look like, when we should do it, how often should we. Start out with Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 says in verse 35, "And early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is searching for you.'" That happened to you? You go out, get a little time away by yourself, and everybody is after you. The whole world is trying to come in and encroach on your time. We see Jesus customarily did this, not just with the disciples in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 1, he gets up way before the sun even comes up. He's out there in the dark. He wants a place by himself. Why? Because he knows he's got to be replenished by his Father. You think he was like Superman in terms of never failing in strength? He was the Lord of life, but he was a man. He got tired. He got hungry. He was exhausted. He preached all day. He needed rest. So what do we learn here? How about getting up early in the morning? That might be a good thing. Or, well, it's still dark, but maybe that doesn't suit you. I don't know. We all have different body clocks. How about Mark chapter 6? We go back there. We see, read on in this story, and it says in verse 45, it says, "Immediately he and his disciples got into the boat. He made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land." Isn't that a beautiful picture? Can you just see our Lord and imagine him there? He says, in fact, he makes his disciples go away. He dismisses the crowds. He goes up on the mountain to pray. Jesus taking time to do this. And this time, at night, in the evening. In fact, it was just toward twilight. And you can picture just, this is a windy bluff. And why do we know it was a windy day? For Jesus looked down upon the lake and saw his disciples, and they were hard-pressed in trying to row across the lake on account of the wind. And it says, he was alone on the land, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. So here we see Jesus in Mark chapter 1. He gets up early in the morning. He does this. Mark chapter 6, goes away at night by himself, and he makes that time. Psalm 55 says, "Evening and morning and at noon I will utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me." So when should we do this? Answer, anytime. There's no law about this. But if you want to be giving others water, then you need to dig a deep well yourself. If you want to be giving strength to others, you got to yourself be strengthened. And let me challenge you right now. How many of you are depleted here this morning? How many of you are overworked? How many of you, even who are retired, have so much on your schedule you can't believe you're really retired? Amen? Our lives get busy. When should we go to the Lord? We got to set a time. Because this is not about a law you got to do. This is about grace. God wants to do something for you. When did Jesus go? Let me ask, do you feel exhausted in your life? Do you get weighed down, overburdened, overworked? Well, Jesus was in Luke chapter 4. He'd been healing people of diseases and casting out demons. It says in Luke 4:42, "When day came, the next day he departed to a lonely place. And the multitudes were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them." Here it is. The world is after him again. Jesus, the Messiah himself, who's got to save the world. Do you think sometimes in your life you feel like you're trying to save the world? You know, you're just going to the supermarket. You're just trying to keep, you're just trying to, you know, sell a few houses or you know, play music at the nursing homes. Or you're just trying to juggle these things. You think you're saving the world. This is the Savior of the world. And he took time. Don't you think we can find that time? It's to our detriment if we don't. So Jesus went there when he's exhausted, but he went there because God, his Father, was going to replenish him, his strength. How about guidance? Sometimes you get lost in life. Sometimes you get so busy you don't have time to ask for directions. A lot of men are like that, huh? I ain't stopping. No, I know where I am. But Jesus, it says in Luke 6, verse 12, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Jesus, seeking the guidance of the Lord. And he came down, he says, okay, these 12. You need guidance? Here Jesus is giving you a teaching by his life. God wants to teach you. This is not, again, about a law. Hey, I got to go there to get guidance. This is about God says, come to me and I'll give you guidance. How about pains? Are you pained in your life? Sad? Sorrowful? It says in Matthew chapter 14, Herod sent and had John the Baptist beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to a girl, and she brought it to her mother. Ugh, isn't that disgusting? Right? This is the culture. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Next verse, verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. Isn't that amazing? The Lord himself didn't say, I'm the man, I'm going to handle this out here in front. No, he said, I'm going to go away with my Father. Because here, John, my good friend, has just been beheaded. How it grieved him to his heart. How about, so God wants to give you comfort. How about when you're weak? You feel like that sometimes? Lord, I can't do this. Well, what did Jesus do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, Jesus, once again, he withdraws from the people to go off to be by himself with God his Father. And why? Because of a law? I got to do this because it's part of my Christian duty? No. It says the next verse, and there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Do you need strength? You overworked, tired, busy, exhausted, or faded? Well, why don't you listen to Jesus' life preaching to you? God says, come to me. I want to replenish you. I want to restore you. I want to guide you. I want to comfort you. I want to strengthen you. And Luke 5 says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. This was his custom. So, if Jesus, how much more ought not we? So, what happens to us? Do I see tired and exhausted people here today? Overworked, overburdened, overstressed? You know, how many times I go to the supermarket and see, you know, these magazines waiting in the checkout aisle, like a stress-free life, how to reduce your stress. We're a stressed-out society. Well, the truth is we do fail to get away to be with God, alone with him. Why? Number one, ignorance. Nobody's ever taught us about it. Number two, sin, because we're lazy and unbelieving that this is going to do us any good. Why should I sit? I got a lot of work to do. I didn't say you had to sit, by the way. Number three, Satan. We got an adversary. He doesn't want you strengthened. He wants you depleted. But remember, he's a serpent. He's a snake in the Bible. Sometimes he's a cobra. And he spits into people's eyes to try to blind them from the truth. But other times he's like a boa constrictor. And he tries to squeeze God out of your life. Is he trying to do that with you? How does he do this? By making you too busy. Too busy for God. Well, it was said, I think, something in the 1970s or so to Congress that with the invention of laundry machines, microwaves, and personal computers and other labor-saving devices, by the 1980s, we would have so much time saved that we'd virtually have nothing left to do. that happen. What do we got? We got cell phones, Twitter, Facebook, text messages, emails, internet, TV, radio, iPhones, iPads. Has that saved us time? Or are those some of those robbing us of our time with each other and with the Lord? Well, you might say, I want to go back to a simpler time where I don't have all this busyness. Well, just make a decision to do so. Your friends will adjust. Just do it. Nike, right? Make a few adjustments. I'm not saying these things are bad, but they can rob you. And also, I want you to know that it's never really been any different. Going back to the biblical days, Luke chapter 10, Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things. One thing is needful. Mary's chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. Think he could say that to you today? Art, Art, Greg, Greg, Dennis, Dennis, Sharon, Sharon. You're anxious and worried about many things. One thing's needful. One thing. Mary's chosen the good portion. It shall not be taken from her. The word of God. Time alone sitting at the feet of our Lord. Listening to him. You think it was easy for Jesus? The world pursued him. Mark chapter 1. Jesus went out early in the morning. He's like, ah, fresh air. I'm out here in the dark by myself with you, Lord. And here comes Simon running along. Hey, everybody's looking for you. You find that? You try to schedule this, and the world's going to be after you. How about in Mark chapter 6, they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Just after the opening verse, I said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Did it happen? Jesus gets away. They come to a desolate place, and there's thousands of people there. All wanting, demanding his time, demanding his energy. And what did Jesus do? He said, forget you? No. He let the interruption happen. It says here that when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In fact, he taught them so long until it was late at night in a desolate place. The disciples said, send the people away. It's a desolate place. Jesus says, you feed them. And he's teaching them again, all the way almost into the evening. And he feeds 5,000 people, miraculously, with a few loaves and bread, of bread and fish. But guess what? Immediately after he feeds them, after this interruption, after his ministry, what's he do? It says, verse 45, immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat. Immediately, euthus, right away, in the Greek. He made his disciples. That word in the Greek, I looked it up this morning, means he necessitated them. He compelled them. He drove them. He forced them into the boat. He said, now you guys get into the boat and go before me to the other side, to Bethsaida. And it says, while he dismissed the crowd, he sent them away. I've now helped you. I've ministered to you. Praise God. I'm not angry at the interruption. And we shouldn't make a law out of this alone time and say, this is my time, get out of here. We can help and be interrupted, but we got to get immediately back to it as soon as we can. And it says right after that, after he'd taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray, and he was alone on the land. Would you like to be alone? Sometimes I have thoughts of, I want to get away into the wilderness. I have so many things to do. Oh, I remember the days of my youth, Lord, when I could just roam the woods for hours and nobody cared. No responsibilities. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm putting my hand to the plow and looking back. What a bad pastor I am. And I thought this week, as I'm studying this, now maybe these are things boiling up inside me from the Lord telling me, I want you back in the wilderness with me occasionally to spend time alone with me. These are things we need in life. And what do we need? We offer to God many gifts. How about I'm going to do a whole lot of good for him? Well, there was a father and his daughter who were great friends. They were always together, but the father noticed one day a change in his daughter. When he went for a walk, she excused herself from going. When he sat down to read, she was absent. When he went at night to gaze at the stars, she wasn't there. After a couple of months, when it was his birthday, she came to him with some slippers that she'd been working on. And he says, "Oh, honey, I love these slippers that you made me. They're really beautiful, but next time, do me a favor. When it comes to my birthday time, just buy the slippers, because I'd really rather have you than anything that you can make for me." You know, we can spend a lot of time doing good, and that's great. God wants good works, but he doesn't want them at the expense of having you. This is father-daughter time. This is father-son time. This is a time for God to say, I'm going to replenish you and strengthen you. And Luther once said, "Sometimes I have so much to do that I have to pray at least three hours a day to get everything done." Ha, wait for a laugh, ha ha. So what should we do? Number one, set aside a time. Don't wait for it to happen. It won't happen. Set aside a time. Number two, set aside a place. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to go and pray and stand at the street corners that they may be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Behind closed doors, the closet. We got a society where a lot of people are coming out of the closet, don't we? Jesus wants us to go into the closet with him, alone. And the operative word here is to a desolate place, to a lonely place, to an abandoned place, to a desert, to a wilderness, behind closed doors, somewhere where you're shut off from all your responsibilities and cares and roles that you have in your life. Does that mean you got to sit down? Like, oh my goodness, I can't sit. What do I want to sit for? I'm busy. You don't have to sit. Yesterday morning, I got up and went for a canoe ride with the Lord, and I had a wonderful time with him, and we talked the whole time. Not to say that I do this all that well, but nevertheless, studying this week, I thought I ought to do it, and it was wonderful. And also, that you would have some sort of pattern to that morning time with the Lord. You might sit there and say, well, now what do we do? Here I am with the Lord. What do I do? Well, think about this. How about, there's no law about it, but think of the word acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That at least will get you started. Adore the Lord, confess your sins, give thanks to him, and make some prayers and supplications. Sing a hymn, read some scripture, let him speak to you. Spend some time listening to the Lord, taking that scripture and talking to you about your life. And we draw near to this throne of God with confidence because Jesus' blood has been shed for you. Remember that telephone I made during the children's message? Well, Jesus has made it so that we can approach the throne of grace through his blood. And God says, come to me. Come away with me by yourself to a lonely place and let us rest a while. Let's talk a while. Let me comfort you, strengthen you, replenish you, and give you power for your life through the forgiveness of sins, through my Son's Holy Spirit, through my grace. I'll conclude with this story. Once there was a young lady who read a certain book. And after having completed it, she remarked that this was the dullest, most boring book she'd ever read in her entire life. A little while afterwards, she met a young man. And she fell in love. And she was in his house one night and said, "Oh, look, you have a book on your shelf that has the same initials on it that I have a book in my library." And he says, "Well, it should be. It's kind of interesting. It's not strange. Shouldn't be strange because, after all, I wrote this book." And she goes, "Wow." And she went home and read the book, and she couldn't put it down. And read all night long and found that it was the best book she'd ever written. Why? Because she'd learned to love the author. And guess what? This book, the same way, can be kind of dry to us. But when you know the author and know him well from having spent time with him, all of a sudden, this is the best book in all the world. You just can't put it down. And I want to tell you today, God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You're not coming to a God who's angry and mean or uninterested. You're coming to a God who loves you, and has given his son to die for you and calls you to be with him. And through Jesus' example, by his words and by his life, he says, you need this. Amen? You need this. Come unto me. Let's rest a while. Let me comfort you. And as Jesus, and it says in Psalm 63, and these are my last words, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Amen.